Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Collectively Rewilding is an online forum for learning, sharing, and teaching the skills needed to enhance our experience in the natural world. We're looking for the best mentors, guides, and instructors who can teach a variety of natural skill sets. If you've got something to share, we have the platform to help you make a difference for free. If you are more interested in learning and expanding your abilities in nature, please join us as a member to explore the world of rewilding. Join us at www.collectivelyrewilding.com today.
Global government, the mystery school, Agenda 2030, chemtrails and geoengineering, manufactured disasters.
We live in a time when awareness about current events and big media deception is critical to be prepared for the events that are rapidly descending upon us. This is Russ from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Diana and me every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. as we expose the truth big media keeps lying about.
Herbal medicine, the globalist real agenda, seen through the propaganda.
Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you there.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should join us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where I am always hosting. My name is Felicia DeRozier, and I have two amazing co-hosts.
Cross, the favorite.
You wish.
This is Mariah, the real favorite child.
Oh, sure.
We spend a lot of time learning about the Bible and possibly a little time learning about humility. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah, Mariah.
We air live every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 10:30. Right now we're going through the book of Romans, but we're going to start moving into the Gospel of John. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about living and walking in the Spirit and learning to be a little humble with those that we live with. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to join us. Right, guys?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, the wiretap, the millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man on rumble.com.
Hello to all you something duckers out there. The CEO of Lysnica demanded I shoot a holiday video. We need to promote everyone get their Lysnica boosters every week. All you nimwits and rubes just keep taking it. But Mr. G, Globalist wants me to be nicer to you since this will be your last holiday season on Earth. By the way, we now have the suicide pods available for rental. Before you enjoy your last breath in a suicide pod, we need you scallywags to get tested for COVID. You must be completely up to date on your vaccine passport. Absolutely no exceptions. When you step into the suicide pod, we do not want you to catch COVID. You must also wear at least 5 scams on your face, with a minimum of 2 of your scams being an N95. After you take your final breath on Earth, we will give you another COVID test. Both before and after your trip to the suicide pod, you will be required to go through the TSI naked body scan. We need to make sure you're not hiding any ivermectin, Federal Reserve notes, or carbon inside your person. For all we know, you could be a something ducker that likes to hide Nuremberg code inside your junk. We need to keep you comfortable and safe. Also, please remember, when your person turns to ashes and dust, please do make sure you are still keeping with local social distancing guidelines. You must still keep your ashes 6 feet away from the previous customer. If you refuse to get in the suicide pod, we will take you to the local FEMA camp. That is all and have a holiday season.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Fight to New World Order. Here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Tuesday, so we'll have Adrian joining us here as our co-host in just a minute. And if you out there in Radio Land have anything you want to share, we will bring you on to the conversation here. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number one on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into today's conversation. All right, so I got two calls, both with a Tennessee area code here, and I am trying to go off memory here. I'm going to guess which one is my co-host and which one is my co-host brought in a friend today as a guest, so I have to figure out who that special guest might be, but I believe this might be Adrian. Is this Adrian by any chance?
Yes, this is me. Yes.
Yeah, I sent you a message a while ago what your area code was again. I was guessing it was 865, but anyway, welcome in.
How's it going, Proof? How have you been?
Well, glad to be here. So we get to have Thursday off here on Freedomizer, at least. So you brought us a guest today.
Yes.
Well, talk to us.
Yeah. So this is Lobo, and he is a YouTuber. He makes music. He talks a lot about rigged sports and other things in this area, what goes on in Hollywood. He talks about Agenda 21, 2030. He's tracking on those topics. And I'm sure he could tell us a lot more of the content that he covers. I know definitely the rigged sports and what goes on in Hollywood, things like that.
Okay. So how'd you meet Lobo?
He actually was my Uber driver on the way to the airport in one of my last trips. And we started talking,
okay.
And he shared with me that he makes his videos, and he does things Agenda 21 related, and I thought it was super cool because you don't meet a lot of strangers that, you know, are doing stuff like that and that are really aware of topics like Agenda 21.
All right, well, let's bring him in. I'm very happy to meet Lobo here. Welcome in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, so nice to meet you. I'm glad that fate just happened, that you got to meet my co-host, and you're out there Ubering and meeting all kinds of different people, and here we are.
Yeah, it's crazy how the universe works out.
Right, so welcome to the Proof Negative Show. If Adrian did not tell you, I go by Proof. She goes, of course, she's Adrian. So how long ago did you start your YouTubing?
I started YouTube around 2018, 2019, early, just doing like reaction videos, different skits, things like that. And then it evolved into me doing like posting type beats for like different type of artists and things like that. And I've always known about
if you heard the song right before we came on, my band is the Rambutans, just so you know. I partake in the electronica music and making my own stuff as well.
That's what's up. I like that.
I don't know if you like that song, Fight, but that's me. Fight, 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 fight the New World Order.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
So, Adrian, I don't want to come in and just bum rush your guest here. So, go ahead and jump in, and I'll fill in as needed. But this is your guest. I'll let you take the spotlight.
Yeah, tell us some about your videos. Like you said, you started out making skits and then making music and posting music for people. And then how did you get into your rigged sports? And can you tell us about your rigged sports stuff and the other stuff that you talk about?
Yeah. So basically, I ended up getting into, well, I already knew about the stuff that is deemed as quote unquote conspiracy as far as like what goes on in the entertainment industry. And I just never talked about it, whether it be on YouTube or any social media platform for that matter. And, you know, when the world shut down in 2020, it gave people a lot of time to sit, think, plan on what they want to do next. And that's just kind of when it all happened. I said, you know what, screw it. I'm going to go ahead and start talking about this stuff. And I've known that sports are rigged for probably like, 5 years now. Just learning about it, especially when I saw Tom Brady kept going to the Super Bowl year after year after year after year. It just made me wonder, how is it that his team is always getting caught cheating, but nothing ever happens, and he keeps winning? And it made me go down a rabbit hole and dig into football, then basketball, and then the next sport. And I started showing clips to show people how they rig a game, or just talking about it for that matter.
Well, there's some sports that are easier to rig than others. And by the way, I need to book him again. I usually try to get him once a year. There's a guy named Brian Toohey. He wrote a book called The Fix Is In.
Yes, I heard about it. And I've actually seen his website. Yeah.
I remember we had a discussion on this show and he predicted who would be in the Super Bowl. That's when the Rams with Matthew Stafford won a Super Bowl over, who'd they play again? Was it the Chiefs?
Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, it was the Bengals. Okay. I remember him saying that there is always a theme, and I don't know what the theme was for baseball this year. Sometimes not everything is fixed, but most of it is. But he said, watch, the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl this year. And I forget the reason he gave, and this was like week 3 or 4 of the Super Bowl, of the season. They ended up winning. There was one year I predicted on air when he was on with us where we were discussing fixing. This was right when Stacey Abrams said that Atlanta is too racist to have the All-Star game and to move it to Denver, which is a lot more white. But I said at that point, watch, the Atlanta Braves are going to win the World Series now just because of this. And then sure enough, you see them holding the trophy at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's true. You know who also died that same year, too? Big name Atlanta Braves player.
Oh, Hank Aaron.
Hank. Yeah, Hank Aaron.
Yeah. Well, just like in hockey, with that Las Vegas shooting at the Mandalay Bay, the Golden Knights went to the playoffs, or went to the finals even in their first year.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't win it all, but they got there.
Yeah, a lot of it, though, is also for a business perspective because they need to solidify a fan base somewhere, too. Like, if you have a new team that started in, say, I'm going to call it City A or whatever, and they don't do good, it's hard for the city to get behind them versus if they do good and have success out the gate.
Yeah. Yeah, my sports teams I follow, it's a very hard life, I guess. And I don't not watch sports, and I used to own a baseball card store back like 20 years ago, and I still partake, but I don't take sports anywhere near as serious as I used to. It's while I do my investing, I can read and be totally happy. I might go to one baseball game every 2 or 3 years. It's not life for me. It's just funny. I live in Las Vegas, and you go to these sports bars out here. Like, there's a Redskins bar down the street, and we had lunch there. And we had, like, you could see, like, 70, 80 people. Whenever they got a first down, everybody chants, like it's a religion. It's just the weirdest thing. I can't
yeah,
do
it's
it.
Because a lot of people, it's also because a lot of people, too, they grew up rooting for this team, so there's this very strong emotional connection. Like, here living in Knoxville, like, everybody's a Tennessee Vols fan. I grew up as a child as a Tennessee Vols fan, went to school there. So I've seen it firsthand. And it is crazy. It is crazy. Like, sitting back and watching how other people react to the game if I'm there and I know what's going on and they don't.
See, I'm a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. And I remember that one year where the Patriots lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and they said the worst quarterback at the time, the worst starting quarterback, Blake Bortles, was up by like 11 points with 2 minutes left. And the Jaguars were 2 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl, and they somehow lost the game in regulation, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
Not even overtime.
Yeah,
they had to get Tom Brady in there. Nobody would watch the Super Bowl if Jacksonville was in it.
Yeah.
Not with Blake Bortles.
There was a Jalen Ramsey tweet, too, where they said the defensive coaches told him to throw the game mid-game, and the tweet was deleted within seconds after he posted it mid-game.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. Jacksonville was up the whole game. So, and that Miles Jack, there was an example where he picked up a fumble and ran it in for a touchdown, but the refs said that it was just an interception or a fumble recovery, but it wasn't a touchdown.
Yeah,
it's just
that.
And it's every sport, but some sports are harder to do because the thing with baseball is you can call balls and strikes. You could say, let this guy hit a home run. But if the guy physically can't hit the home run in that at-bat, you can't do nothing about it. You still have to perform the task at hand. It's just that the refs or the umpires can do what they can. They can call penalties at certain points, but at the end of the day, if you don't hit the baseball, if you strike out, then they can't help you.
I mean, they work together in baseball, like, both teams are working together to rig the game. Like, when you think about errors, when you go back and look at errors in baseball, they stick out like a sore thumb. And that's because they followed the assignment. I think it was the Blue Jays and the Royals were playing like a regular season game this season, and it was like three straight wild pitches by the pitcher. And I think the Royals are up 2-0. It was like three straight wild pitches with runners on. And in the blink of an eye, it's 3-2 Toronto.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes the pitchers just do suck. I mean, they don't rig every single game. It wouldn't be that believable, but the refs have to pick their spots, so nobody suspects it. They can only say they think it might be tainted, but if they ref 100% of the games, then it's just too much.
I'll say they manipulate the outcome of every game. There are some, though, they give teams more leeway than others. Where if it's, say, like the Detroit Pistons are playing the, I don't know, Miami Heat, or something, it's just a Tuesday night game, not a big deal. There's still going to be some stuff in there, but a lot of that's more so towards prop bets. But you talk about the NFL and things like that, all those games, because it's not a coincidence.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like football, there's only one game a week, so every game has to be on point for football, whereas baseball's 162 games, and face it, if there's like the Washington Nationals playing the Pirates, nobody cares about it. There's no talent on either team. They're not going to waste their energy on that. They will pick the more pivotal games.
People still will bet on it, though, like prop bets and stuff, and people got parlays. And that's how they can screw people over. It's like they had parlays for the big games, and they thought I could clean up with, like you said, it was the Pirates and the Nationals, with that too, and have, say, the Nationals be up, I don't know, 5-0 and magically forget how to play baseball and lose 6-5. So there's,
well, I've had that, those conversations with Brian Toohey, and he says it's he basically says what I believe on that, and he kind of sold me on that. They might play with 75 to 80% of the games, but if you have two teams that have no talent and it's game number 50 out of 162 games and there's no interest, they might let that one go because they have to pick their spots and make everything look more believable than what it is. And at the end of the day, you have to have talent because you can't just say the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to beat the Yankees and the Pirates don't have a name that anyone outside of Pittsburgh would know and they suck. You're not going to say, well, Pittsburgh needs to win this one. If they don't have the talent to beat them, yeah, they're not going to do it.
No, I agree that you definitely need talent. I'm just saying any game, they could easily manipulate at certain points. Like you said, pick your spot.
Oh, they could if they
won.
Same
with college football. Or basketball, for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how the NBA, they suspended one referee for fixing games like it's not a team effort.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they needed a fall guy. They had to make it look like they were actually policing what's going on. Same thing with the NFL.
I'm sure soccer there has to be fixing, but that game's hard enough.
Oh, they're definitely fixing with soccer.
I would assume that there would be. It's just hard to me. I understand there would be fixing, but there's a lot of games that are like 1-0 and 2-0. It's just hard for me to fathom that they would fix a game that ends up 1-0.
Usually most of the time it's when they miss easy kicks that they should have made. Because they can miss on purpose. Like, these are professionals.
Oh, I believe that.
And it's no different than basketball. He was formerly known as Chris Jackson. He had a video where he talked about how you can miss shots on purpose.
Well, that's probably the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, give or take.
I'm not going to say Larry Fitzgerald, but we'll use Larry Fitzgerald on the Cardinals just because he's the first wide receiver that came to mind. He can drop a pass anytime he feels like it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But then again, they could call a holding penalty on or a shot clock or a traveling violation pretty much, maybe not a shot clock violation, but you can call a penalty on almost any play in either football or basketball.
That's 100% true. 100% true.
See, and I'm a Cleveland Indians fan, so I remember that 2016 World Series, and I refused. I was on air in the when the Indians came back in the eighth inning, and then the ninth inning, I get off the air at 9 o'clock Pacific time because I'm in Vegas. And
mm-hmm.
and then the Indians tie the game, and then there's a rain delay. And any time in baseball there's a rain delay, that just takes all the emotion and all the vibes just out of it. And then they just – I didn't even stay up. I just went to bed at like 9:15. And I'm like, I already know they lost. I don't even have to watch. You called a rain delay when they got people on base. And I mean, yeah, it could be just legit, but that was just too coincidental.
Yeah, when you said that reminds me of the Niners and the Ravens Super Bowl where the lights magically just went off.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
As the Ravens had momentum, and then when the lights come back on, suddenly the Niners made a comeback and almost won.
Well, how do you explain the Patriots going undefeated and then the Giants beat them?
Twice, but yeah.
Yes.
Y'all said the lights went off? You know, I'm not a sports person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in the fourth quarter, the lights went off for like 20 minutes or something.
And the
wow.
announcers blamed it on Beyonce's halftime performance. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I had heard, I've never, you know, I'm not like a huge sports person, so, you know, I haven't really cared to look into it, but I've heard that, you know, the UFC was rigged before, and I didn't really know if I believed it or not. You know, I heard that, you know, it was rigged and that they're paid to lose fights and that it's, like, apparently, supposedly owned by the Russian mafia or something. I don't really know. That's what I heard somebody say a while back.
Well,
yeah,
the new thing now in sports, though, is that Saudi Arabia is trying to build leagues of their own. With everything, they're trying to get James Harden, and I'm not a big basketball guy, but they're trying to offer him like a $900 million contract to be exclusive to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, because I remember Saudi Arabia, they had the golf thing too.
And they just sold to PGA and made tons of money by creating that new league, and then they said everybody that goes to Saudi Arabia is blackballed from the PGA, and now they merged.
Yeah, crazy how that works out. That's like the UFC and WWE, they had that thing too. And that was recent.
Yeah,
well, they had a merger on theirs.
So other than sports, what are your big things that you – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were jumping in.
Oh, no, I did finally accept that WWE is rigged. In like ninth grade, I finally kind of accepted it, but I wasn't really tracking on any of the other sports.
Yeah, especially wrestling. It was weird. When I was a kid, I actually knew that wrestling was fake, but I didn't get into it until I was older, and then I realized like what they do. Yeah, that takes skill and stuff, but obviously. You can tell who they want to push and who they don't want to push.
So on YouTube, you're Luvo, L-U-V-O?
L-0-B-0, Lobo.
Oh, okay, L-0-B-0, okay. Got it. Okay, there we go. All right, I wanted to find you so that I can add you, of course, to my my favorites.
Awesome. I appreciate that.
But go ahead, Adrian. I don't want to hog up the time because I could talk to Lubo for days.
No, whatever you guys want to talk about. I figured, you know, we would just start out because, you know, like with the rigged sports, and then he talks about other things as well. You know, he actually had a question for you, Proof, that I said that he would be able to ask you on the show. He'd like to ask you about your name.
Yeah, where'd you get Proof Negative from? Where'd that come from?
Oh, I started 15 years ago. I've been on air since March 2008. And at my old day job, I got started by telling people about certain stories that they didn't believe. Like back in 2008 when your cell phone was spying on you, nobody believed it, so I'd show them evidence. And it's like I always had proof, but it was never good. So that's where it came up.
Mm-hmm. That's clever. I like that. That's a cool name.
Yeah, I've been on air 15 years. It'll be 16 in March.
Nice. Okay.
Have you thought about having your own show?
Radio show or what? Because
yeah.
I already have podcasts that cover whether it be rigged football or college football,
okay.
NFL, NBA.
Right.
Okay. I have my own other podcasts too.
All right. I didn't know if you were. Where do people hear you at?
YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, I don't do a lot on YouTube anymore. When I started, I had a huge, maybe not super huge following, but I had enough. And then when they started banning people, and even I have a cartoon series, and they even gave me strikes on that. I'm like, yeah, I'm not uploading anymore.
What
the only thing I do is if I discuss baseball cards, and that's about it. They're not going to hit me on that. I go to Rumble.
Yeah, smart. What did you get a strike for? What exactly did they strike you for? With the cartoon.
I have a cartoon named Broccoli Man, and I discussed how the gene therapies, I forget which episode it was, but something in regards to the COVID gene therapy. And so they gave me a strike on my cartoon.
What did they say, like, quote-unquote medical misinformation or something?
They didn't say medical. I just remember offhand, or they just said I was, it might have been misinformation at the time, or false information, or whatever, however they worded it back in 2020.
Yeah, I'll say that because I had it's crazy how this happened to me. Less than a month ago, I got a strike for medical and misinformation for a video I did back in 2020. And it's crazy. It's been up for 3 years. Nothing happened to it, but all of a sudden, they suddenly wanted to hit it. And it was, I think, about the vaccine.
Yeah, and they're still out there protecting that stuff. That's hilarious. And Russell Brand put a video out today where Moderna's getting sued, and they're going to have to go to court in Europe. AstraZeneca is getting sued. They're getting sued first, and they're going to go to court. And Europe is going to start having these trials about how unsafe these are, but yet if you post about it, they still want to come get you, like it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Even the mainstream media, who was spreading the lies initially, came out and told the truth, and they want to cover back up lies, and in that same essence have a commercial promoting what they told you was dangerous, and then still lying to you about it at the same time. Like they don't have
this last time around, Alex Jones, he said he talked to a bunch of people at TSA and other government agencies, and they said any day now they're going to start trying to bring this friend or bring back the scam wearing and the COVID stuff. And then sure enough, the 8 hours later, they're throwing it out there like we got to be prepared again and put your scams back on. And those of us, millions of people that got the bad signal, put it out there, and we exposed their fraud, so they had to knock it off here. But you have New Zealand, Australia, Germany. They're making people put scams on their faces again. They started that over the weekend.
Australia is something else, though, like. Talking about New World Order, that's a place where they really was testing that stuff out and pushing it like heavy.
Well, let me throw something else out there. Do you know why Xi Jinping was in San Francisco last week?
What was it for?
wasn't to meet Gavin Newsom, I promise you that. It wasn't to meet Brandon. What he was doing there, do you know, all the big tech headquarters are out in the Silicon Valley. So he's there to meet BlackRock with Larry Fink. He's there to meet the people from Google. He's there to meet Tim Scott from, is that his name? Tim Scott from Apple?
I think it's Tim Scott.
Whatever. So, yeah. So he's there to meet the CEOs of all these companies that rule the world. That's who rules the world. It's not Brandon.
The people that want to move us to the smart city.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Exactly.
So they're there to meet the, because at this point, they can just defer all of their garbage to the mega corporations and let the mega corporations do everything that's illegal. Like, you're going to tell BlackRock they can't do something.
Exactly.
So that's why he's in San Francisco, and that's why Governor Newsom had to hurry up and clean those streets up. Mm. It's funny. It's like Governor Newsom is like the Justin Trudeau of California.
And then you got so many people leaving California, too, on top of that.
But the thing is that they're trying to sell Governor Newsom as the number one choice to take over for Brandon. And that kind of how I see it right now, that they don't want to have debates. Because even if it's Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady, if it's Governor Newsom, I don't care who it is. They don't want any debates among the Democrat Party. So they have to wait until Brandon clinched the nomination, and then they'll do the whole switcheroo on us. And they'll throw whoever they feel, because they really want Big Mike in there, but Big Mike don't want the job. Rumor is that she really can't stand Barry Satoru, and those two are just living a lie of a marriage. They don't like each other. But they're doing it because it's political convenience. What's that?
Aren't a lot of Americans and couples in general like living a lie of a marriage and a relationship? It just seems like kind of a very common thing in this country.
Well, I don't know. I can't say that. I'm not dissatisfied. I'm happy with my marriage. I've been together 13 years.
Yeah, I know. That's great. Yeah, you guys seem super happy, and I'm so happy that you guys are happy. It just seems like a lot of people aren't.
But I'm just saying that you don't want a big celebrity relationship like the Obamas. And there's certain things that Big Mike doesn't want to expose. And she does not want the job. She's not the least bit interested. And their number two choice is Governor Newsom. And they know Big Mike, they could get enough votes to beat Trump with Big Mike, but they can't with Newsom. And everybody else, it's not even close, which is why they're trying to arrest Trump to level the playing field. That's all it is. If they could beat Trump, they wouldn't be going after him like they are. But if you thought sports is rigged, politics is even more rigged than anything else.
Oh, yeah, especially when you talk about voting, yeah.
The thing is that Trump has to get 100 million votes in order to win. Because if it's close, and this is what I said about the 2020 election, I'm sure Trump got it stolen from him, but the thing is that it was so close that they were able to steal it, and it wasn't obvious. I mean, it may have been obvious to some of us, but if they stole the election this time around, it would be too obvious because Brandon's unfavorable rating is like at an all-time high. But if it was close, then they can get their 5 to 8% and put themselves over. There's no way Brandon got 81 million votes.
They use, like, dead people or something like that, too.
Yes, of course. Oh, and those liberal states, oh, they protect those voter rolls like it's on their life. Yeah, this person died in 1972, but they need to be on these voter rolls. It's very important. They'll tell you that.
That's wild.
No, they'll say that, though. We need Roger Owens, who died in 1958, to stay on these voter rolls. They don't care. They ain't never scared.
You ever notice, though, whenever it comes to, like, who becomes the president, after so many times, it's such a flip-floppy thing. Like, it'll be, say, Republicans for, say, 4 to 8 years. Then people say, we need change. And then they say, let's go liberal. And then they say the same thing after so many years, and it's just flip-flop. And people never really fully wake up to that.
But I'm going to say, though, and maybe I'm brainwashed, but I've never seen it this blatant where they despise a political opponent. Maybe John F. Kennedy, because they assassinated him, and possibly Reagan because they tried to assassinate. But then after the assassination attempt, he kind of came correct to the New World Order. But
he got the message.
Yeah. I don't think Trump is playing that game, though.
But you don't think he's down with them people, too?
Oh, they wouldn't go after him this hard. I don't think so. Like George Bush.
I think faking the whole thing, and that's political theater. But I think I've said before on here, I think he's an actor.
Like George Bush, they gave George Bush the dirty treatment, and he loved it, in my opinion. But the thing is that when you have your own money and you're not reliant on corporate media, and this is why people tend to like Vivek Ramaswamy, because he's kind of calling them out as well. I don't know. I just don't think you can. There's certain ways. I'm trying to word this right here. Like there's certain things. Like when you get into politics, all these politicians are basically almost dead broke when they become a congressperson or a Senate person. And then 2 years in, they're worth over $100 million. Like AOC, she had to borrow money to get her one bedroom apartment in Washington, D.C., and now she's worth almost $100 million. When you come in with your own money like Trump did, it's a little different because he's not gaining anything. There's not much political influence there. Although, I will tell you, though, I'm not on the Trump, like, at all cost or anything. He did accept $1 million donation from Pfizer.
He's playing his role. Like Adrian said, he's an actor. He was, where'd he come from? Mm. TV. We know him from The Apprentice.
No, I get all that. But at the same time, look at if you look at certain countries, like the guy in Argentina, I love what that guy says. He talks about you don't give liberals jack dick over anything. You give them an inch, they're gonna try and run your life. I love when people say stuff like that. And the globalists are upset. Like Nikki Haley, you could say Ron DeSantis, those types, those are the clowns, the puppets, if you will. Just like what Vivek called her out and said she went bankrupt and then she started it, her family invested in defense contracting and now she's worth over $100 million.
Hmm.
That's how it is. But if you come in with your own scratch, yeah, maybe you are willing to capitulate to certain things. But at some point, you have to say, look, there's certain people that can't be controlled by the globalist, because if I already am worth $12 billion, what's your $20 million going to do for me? And that's just, you have to trust somebody, in my opinion. I can't just go out and say, I can't trust them all and I'm never going to vote again. I understand the concerns. I've done Truth Radio for 15 years. I'm willing to take my chance on this.
I just see it because I can't ignore the fact that he came from Hollywood, which he was in that, you know, that industry. Not to
yeah, and
cool
The Simpsons was too
stuff.
Weird for me, too. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and he was cool with Epstein, and The Simpsons magically predicted this years ago. That's not a coincidence. So he was down.
But,
he was in the plane.
And with the Epstein story, because I know I've heard people say this, just because you meet somebody, you don't know their background, but the second he found out about Epstein's background, he removed him from his life. You're not going to know everything about everyone until you investigate further. So in all fairness, he's never been to Epstein's Island.
I do agree with that. You can't, like, stereotype people, but I do think he was kind of more friends with the Clintons, and then it may be led on to seem, me personally is what I think, but I do get the you can't, you know, because it is like a elevated part of society, and you meet people and shake hands with people, and photos are taken, and, you know, I'm not even, like, there in any of those like financial brackets, social statuses, but I don't even like my picture taken with like certain groups or people. Like I don't like my picture taken, period, because you never know when it's
like,
gonna pop up.
Yeah, like my an example I'll share. My ex-wife was friends with a lawyer here in town that went up against me. Actually, now, that's not the issue. The issue is that last year he was found guilty of killing somebody in a political move. And so it's like, well, I'm not going to say, well, even though I don't like my ex-wife, that I'm not going to say she's evil because she was friends with him. It's not her fault that he went crazy and killed somebody for spilling some dirt on him. So I can't really use the Epstein thing.
You go on somebody's island, and there's a reason they say birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah, but he never went there, though, so you can't – he's not on the rolls. So if his name was on the rolls – and I've said this about some celebrities, too. And I'll equate this to, like, a drug dealer. Now, if you're a drug dealer and somebody's buying from you for the first time, you're not going to let them on your block. You're going to go meet them at a McDonald's down the street. The second time, you might let them come around your house, not to your house, but like maybe a block or two over. At about the fourth or fifth time, you'll say, all right, I think I trust you. I'll meet you out front of my house. That's why if you see somebody once, they could have said, well, I wasn't interested. He's not going to sell everybody on, hey, I got kids at my island. Do you want to come see them when he's never been there before? Why would you spill the beans on that?
I mean,
you want to feel people out first.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying with that. I just can't get over the Simpsons episode where they predicted he'd be president and that he was like, what happened to him in that episode? Was he like killed in the episode or something?
Was it the Simpsons also that predicted that Kobe Bryant would die in a helicopter?
That's wild.
Yep. There was like
two shows
in the day and a tweet.
The Family Guy talked about Bruce Jenner being a woman, like, years before that even happened.
Yep, I remember that.
Psyop.
100%.
So, while we're on this topic, actually, Proof, can we talk about and ask our guest about his, talking about, you know, Lovo, his, your YouTube videos with other topics that you talk about, like what goes on in Hollywood.
Oh, by all means. Yeah. Take whatever time you need and tell us about what you do. That's what you're here for. There's no sense in coming on a show if you can't promote yourself.
Pretty much anything in Hollywood, whether it be MK Ultra, Monarch celebrities, Monarch athletes. I got a video on
clothing. What is that? The Monarch. Are you talking about the butterflies, like showing the butterfly symbolism, or what does that mean?
Yes, kind of that. Basically, a Monarch athlete or celebrity would be someone who is groomed from birth to do what they're doing now. For example, like a simple one, Michael Jackson. His whole life, his path was, you are going to be an entertainer. He fulfilled that role. Or Jaden Smith. As far as a
I would say, if you want to talk about sports with that equation, you could say Tiger Woods.
Definitely. Tom Brady, Michael Jordan. A lot of those. Steph Curry. So any prominent athlete or actor, celebrity, musician, especially nowadays when they're on their, second, third generation from family, just look at who their dad was, who their mom was, and how their path to how they got to where they were.
Well, that's not always a guarantee, but you are right, though, that a lot of times it's like Peyton Manning, for example.
Yeah, his dad.
You could say his brother Eli, to a lesser extent, I guess. That's a legacy right there. Or Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. But then you have Bobby Bonds and his son Barry, which also played baseball, but there was Bobby Bonds Jr. that totally sucked in the minor leagues. Pete Rose Jr. sucked.
One that doesn't make it. If you have, three children, like the Balls. Like there's LeVar Ball, the face. LaMelo, the one that plays for the Hornets, who's like the star. Lonzo had all the hype, but a lot of injuries derailed his career, but he still made it to the league. And then there's LiAngelo, who was the one who got in trouble for stealing stuff in China. And he had it, he was close to making it fully to the league, but never really got there.
Yeah.
Same with the Mannings. But I mean,
and now they're on the grandkids.
Yeah, like Arch Manning for Texas. But you look, there's just too many players in, say, the NFL, the NBA, and you look and see their dad played in the league or such and such, and it's like, okay. There's some, they call it a brotherhood for a reason. It's a fraternity, they say it. So it's clearly something about you having to follow the agenda to get in.
But once again, though, going back to all the sports, it's much harder to make it in baseball because there's so many levels of minor leagues, and it takes 3 to 5 years of being in the minor leagues usually to get in. Whereas basketball, you're drafted and you're usually on the team right then and there, or football for that matter, because there's not a minor league system really.
Kind of there is now. And with football, you got the XFL and stuff like that. But
that's not like if the New York Jets quarterback Zach Wilson sucks, you just don't call up somebody. You have to go scouting around on who's looking for work. Basketball, they do have a minor league team for the most part.
There's not necessarily direct farm system, but I say it's hard to make as an NBA because they only have 60 draft picks total. And you got to think about how many colleges.
That's true, and then there's only 12 active people on a team at any given time, and there's up to 15, but 3 could be deactivated or healthy scratches.
Yeah, they might send them down to the G League for a little bit, put them on a 10-day, or they'll ship them overseas, keep tabs on them, bring them back, and let them develop that way too. And then as far as, Hollywood celebrities and stuff like that, you can just look. Typically the ones that say their parents had a military background, I've noticed, is one of the biggest tales. Obviously, if they was in the industry, but a military background, they were born a military base. Martin Lawrence, for example, he was born in Germany. And then you track his career and how he ended up getting to where he was.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't paid much attention to who's military and who's not. I'm not a big military guy, but I understand exactly what you're saying, though.
Yeah, I didn't know the term for a monarch celebrity until now. That's very interesting. That's actually fascinating. One of my friends we'll have to bring him on here too. That video that I sent you the other day, proof about the mental health field and how, I mean, not to get too far off subject, but that they're keeping people traumatized. It's interesting you say that about the celebrities, One of my friends was just talking the other day about how, like, they use trauma-based mind control in the industries that they, specifically Satanists will use trauma-based mind control to their victims and people that they kidnap and, like, people that they traumatize, and they traumatize them for control. Kind of sounds, like, similar to MKUltra. So, it's just interesting that you start talking about monarch celebrities, people that are bred, I don't even want to use the word bred, I mean born, to do certain things. It's interesting.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Like, especially when you mention, like, MKUltra and stuff, because they get, like, high doses of LSD when they do it. That way they can have an ego death and they can destroy that ego so it's easier to control them. Of course, give them a handler so if they start acting out, they can get them back in line real quick. But that's why you see a lot of celebrities, they'll randomly rehab, come back with blonde hair. They'll get locked, rappers get locked up and come back looking different with blonde hair, just looking completely different, like it's not even them anymore. Kanye West, when he went on that
rant. Think of back in the day, there was Mystical, the guy that did Shaky Ass.
I remember Mystical, yeah. I remember him. Who else? Oh, yeah, like I was saying, with Kanye West, when he went on that rant in 2016 in Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
He talked about Hillary Clinton, Nicki Minaj, Drake, Beyonce, and all them, like big-name people. And next thing you know, he get handcuffed to a gurney, like right afterwards. And then he ended up coming back looking different with blonde hair, taking a picture next to Trump. And he ain't been right ever since.
No, I don't feel sorry for that many celebrities, but I do for Kanye, because I feel like his heart could be in the right place, but he just totally lost himself on how to get his message out. I don't know how to say it any better, but him trying to sell his message sucks.
Oh, now definitely, yeah, that is. When people say I miss the old Kanye, I 100% agree with that, yeah.
Like, when he was running for president, I actually, let me see if I still have the clip here. Because I actually took the commercial, and I'm listening to it like, this is like the best commercial I've ever heard for a presidential campaign. I want to play it for you.
America. What is America's destiny? What is best for our nation? Our people. What is just? True justice. We have to think about all these things together as a people. To contemplate our future, to live up to our dream, we must have vision. We as a people will revive our nation's commitment to faith, to what our Constitution calls the free exercise of religion, including, of course, prayer. Through prayer, faith can be restored. We as a people are called to a greater purpose than ourselves. We are not only a beacon to the world, but we should be servants to each other, to encourage each other, to help each other, to lift up each other, our fellow Americans, that we may all prosper together. We have to act on faith with the sure knowledge that we are pursuing the right goals and doing the right things. We will build a stronger country by building stronger families. Families are the building blocks of society, of a nation. By turning to faith, we will be the kind of nation, the kind of people God intends us to be.
I am Kanye West, and I approve this message.
It's like you can't find a more positive presidential commercial than that.
Yeah, for real. That was a good commercial. I ain't gonna lie.
And then you hear him talk, and what he did on the Alex Jones show, what was that, last year, a year and a half ago? It can't be the same person. There's no way.
Yeah, it's like Kanye will have his first where he'll make sense. Yeah, there we go.
I mean, I know it sounds, and I used to look at people that, like, said, you know, I had a friend one time, and she'll have to call in as a guest, and she, you know, she talks about some other stuff, and, you know, like, she, you know, when she started talking to me about the clones, and, you know, some people aren't real people, I was looking at her, and I was like, what is he saying to me right now? Like, what are you saying? And then I just so happened to have a friend stumble upon a man named Arthur L. Kaplan, I believe is his name. And when you look him up and you look at his bio and his records, he had a job, and I think it's something, and if I'm not getting this title exactly right, I'll, you know, correct myself, but he was like, he has a PhD in bioethics, and he actually served as an advisory committee for the UN chair on human cloning. Like, why does the UN have a cloning advisory committee, if a human cloning advisory committee, if they're not cloning humans? And that was really my, because if you can show me facts, like things, you know, like, why do they have that if they're not doing that? That's just strange to me. And then you have things like the Human Genome Project. So what that makes me think of.
Yeah, I mean, the first, a lot of ones that people think of immediately is Kanye being one of them, but Dave Chappelle. But he came back looking different. And then one of his cousins and stuff was talking about what they did to his whole original family and all that stuff.
Well, I was going to say the most obvious one was Jamie Foxx.
Mm-hmm. Missing head tattoo.
Oh, I ain't heard nothing about that. What do y'all got on that?
Jamie Foxx basically was fighting for his life. They said his brain was half dead, all types of stuff, basically in critical condition. And then the next thing you know, he's playing pickleball, top golf, being spotted top golf. He's on a yacht. He's helped some lady lost her purse, so he helped her and stuff, making all these TMZ appearances after basically battling for his life. After he mentioned some stuff about what goes on at Diddy's parties, coincidentally, quote unquote. And now he comes back looking different, missing a head tattoo, stuff like that.
Yeah, I've heard about Kodak, and then I heard, you know, one of my favorite Kevin Gates songs is Plug's Daughter, too. And you know, he says they're indicting the clone or something like that. Something like, he talks about being cloned, and I'm like, what? Like, I just found that song. I think it came out a couple years ago, but I just found it a couple months ago, and it's, like, bumping. And so I've been, like, listening to it repetitively because that's what I do when I get new bangers, you know. I wear them out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I noticed that line in there, and I was like, what? And then, you know, like, people say Kodak was cloned,
yeah,
and that he came out of jail different. And then they came out with this movie called They Cloned Tyrone, and I haven't watched it yet, but I'm like, what is going on? And, you know, somebody did ask, like, okay, well, what would the purpose be of cloning celebrities? Like, why would they be cloning rappers? And I don't really have an answer for them, but, I mean, it's just weird that they got, you know,
it's because
the
subliminal
messages.
Like, these are whole.
Well, I don't know if they're gonna continue to clone rappers, because rap isn't as popular as it was even 5 years ago. There's kind of a lull in music right now. We're out there actively looking for a new style of music, but the globalists don't want anything that could become any anthems. Like in the '60s, there were so many protest songs between the 60s and 70s, and they really don't want anything like that to pop off again.
No, the thing with rappers, though, is you have to realize how many generations they've affected, too. Like, a Gucci Mane, prime example, he went in jail fat, had an underbite and all this stuff. He came out fit. Tattoos had been moved on his body, different teeth, different the way his jaw was from the underbite to no longer having the underbite. All this different stuff is the fact he's influenced so many people that have grown up listening to Gucci Mane at a younger age. And then he goes to jail, comes out, and then they rebrand him. Because, again, these are brands we're talking about. And he can push and influence and affect a different demographic and a larger demographic than before. Notice he cleaned up his image, and now he's more acceptable to the white people and stuff like that. That's why. Part of the reason why. That's like there's
see,
a
I got to see if I can get you to come on when I have there's another one of my friends that comes on sometimes. His name is Ninja Scroll. He was at one time part of the Wu-Tang Clan, and he broke off into his own group called the Zoo Ninjas. And he had a show here on Freedomizer, and he runs a record label now.
Okay, that's cool. Freedomizer.
But, yeah, it's only he only does, like, Christian-based music now.
That's kind of like Pusha T's brother. He went from being in the clips, and then he went to the Christian rap lane.
Hey, that's common for people that don't want to get involved in this in the cult stuff. It's like they go another direction.
Yeah, they try to run as far away from it as possible because they realize, hey, I ain't really cut out for this.
You're talking about Clips, right? Where his name was Malice, then now he calls himself No Malice?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mace, I guess, was bullied by Puffy back in the day, and so he went Christian. There's others I can't think of right now, but yeah, that happens.
Yeah, they go in with one idea of what the lifestyle is, and then they realize, oh, it ain't. It's not what you expect it to be.
You know, somebody I thought was going to be huge, but then they got run off the side of the road. Someone else with Puff Daddy, Craig Mack.
Mm-hmm, Flavor in Your Ear.
The brand new Flavor in Your Ear. I thought he was going to be the next big thing. But then he had a beef with the other person that Puffy had, which was Notorious B.I.G., and so Puff just cut him out.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, in entertainment industry, especially in rap, that's if you want to move up, you got to give somebody up. So
yeah,
that's how it goes. I mean, look at the Migos. There was Takeoff, Quavo, Offset. Now there's only two of them. And ain't it something that the other two that are alive, Quavo and Offset, just so happen to drop solo albums after Takeoff dies?
It didn't work with TLC, though.
Oh, no.
But let me ask you this, then. Do you know about the conspiracy with Paul McCartney on the Beatles?
What was it?
No, I don't.
There
was what is that?
Paul McCartney?
Yes.
Paul McCartney? That's Jesse McCartney's dad?
I suppose. But Paul McCartney with the Beatles, allegedly he was in a car accident and died in 1967. And the guy that they had replace him, he just recently won a lookalike contest.
Oh, wow.
And as it turns out, the next album they made was their final album. And then you had George Harrison that would call him Paul because he was fake Paul. You can look up the Beatles conspiracy theory and that might be an interesting video for you to make.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot, man.
It's just fortunate for Paul, I guess, that he had actual talent. Because even if he was spoon-fed everything and said, do this and do that, you still have to do the damn thing, and he did it to his credit.
Yeah, you still got to execute, for sure.
Speaking of which, did you hear the new Beatles song a couple weeks ago?
Nah, what's it called?
Now and Then. So I don't know if you like Beatles music. I'm hit and miss with them. Some stuff I think is excellent. Some I think is way overrated, but I have to respect them as the greatest band ever. And that's not just my decision. But
I ain't listened to Beatles in a minute. I'm not going to lie.
No, but you have to respect them as the most famous band ever.
Yeah,
I mean, what's next? The Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, Beatles were bigger than either one of them.
Say the Beatles, but also that's still one of the things that could be a generational thing too, to a certain extent. Whether it be any factor.
Yeah, but nobody's come close to what the Beatles did, and I wasn't even alive at that time.
I'm just talking about music in general. I ain't talking about the Beatles.
No, I know. I'm saying nobody had that kind of chart success. You could say to a point maybe Michael Jackson, but that would be like Michael Jackson having 10 albums in like 6 years doing that kind of thing.
I mean,
Michael Jackson would have needed 9 more Thrillers.
I don't know, man. I still consider Michael Jackson the GOAT of music because he's the only artist you can say had hits, timeless hits from when he was a child to the time he dies an adult. No one has done it. Justin Bieber, the only one who came close.
That's not even close, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But
you're making me wonder
we can discuss
if
that.
Michael Jackson was a Monarch Child celebrity.
Definitely. Definitely was. I mean, it wasn't just
him. Well, he had help from Berry Gordy, though.
Him and Stanley. Yeah, exactly.
But Janet Jackson didn't have it that easy. It took Janet Jackson 4 albums in order to get going.
Yeah, she wasn't necessarily the chosen one, that's why.
And Jermaine Jackson, I thought, had a ton of talent, but he had a few top 40 hits, but nothing really that stands out.
You know those producers like little boys, though.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard the stories of what used to happen to the Jackson 5 before they used to perform backstage and stuff?
No, I have not.
No, they was, you allegedly were getting touched on, and it was part of their, like, their rituals and stuff before they would perform as kids.
It's possible. Obviously, we weren't there, and Michael's not here to defend himself, so it's possible. I believe it. As far as if Michael Jackson did that with others or not, I don't know. Obviously, we weren't there. It's not like he couldn't have the opportunity, but part of me says he had no childhood, and he wanted to make friends like he didn't as a kid, and I think a lot of it could have been him being trapped in a child's thoughts because he never had a childhood.
And who knows what actually happened to him, like with the brainwashing and stuff that goes on in Hollywood. Like, you know, like I know a lot of people are like, oh, Michael Jackson was a pedophile. And like, you're right. Like, we don't know. Like, things probably did happen to him. And who knows what he did. But I know I saw clips of him saying, they are brainwashing our kids. You know, he was like up on a literal podium talking about the people that write these textbooks are like brainwashing the children. And you know what I mean? And that was after he already bleached his skin and stuff. And he was like up there talking like that. And I just think it's, you know, it's strange. Like, who knows what actually happened?
Part of me says, I think he was starting to figure some of this stuff out because that's when he said no to some of this stuff is when all these rumors came out, and then he wrote that song, They Don't Care About Us. And he sings about how the globalists don't care about the 99%. So, I don't know. And the thing is that when you have a childhood like that and you're in the spotlight, and it would be easy for people that don't know the background to say, yeah, he's this and he's that, because they don't know him. And the media can spin anybody into anything.
That is
so
true. There is one
so
thing,
I like to give Michael Jackson the benefit of the doubt on this, because we don't know, and we're not going to dig up his body to find out. But I just look at that as a childhood that never happened.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't even talking about Michael Jackson. I was talking about the producers that, you know, like the producers and you know, all those weirdos, like in children. I wasn't even talking about that. I don't really believe what they say about anyone, you know, and even people that say that, you know, all celebrities worship the devil, and all celebrities are pedophiles. I think that that is very sad that most people, especially in the truth movement, they think that about all these people, because it's like it is a wide generalization, and I don't think that any of them understand what that's like to be surrounded by that and to also be in an elevated state of society and have an elevated state of consciousness, knowing that, like, you know, like, devil worship and all that stuff going on around you, and then, like, everyone just automatically assuming that you're associated with it just because you maybe got key and had some albums go, you know, up on the charts, or because you got a certain role in a movie, automatically, you know, certain sects of society are just automatically accusing you of being a devil worshiper and a pedophile. You know what I'm saying? Like, I make sure to tell people, like, you know, it's not all of them, and there's probably some there that they don't acknowledge that, or they know what's going on and they don't delve into it too much, but then they're kind of ostracized, you know, by the public, you know?
The thing is this, though, you got to look, when they take pictures, a lot of them always do the triple sixes. They wearing the black and white checkerboard pattern. A lot of them, you keep seeing the same pattern with these celebrities in pictures, and you keep noticing who they're taking pictures with, and one of them being, like, for example, Jay-Z was cool with Marina Abramovich, who was openly talking about spirit cooking and all this other demonic stuff. And you look at who else has been taking pictures with her, who's going to the Met Gala, and you see this one-eye symbolism on the clothing left and right. And you can't ignore it to this point. They throw it in your face over and over at this point, so you can't really ignore it. They tell you who you're with to your face.
Yeah, but not everybody that's in music is into that stuff. But I will tell you, anybody, because people can accidentally have one or two hits, and then after that is when they try to come for you. And then if you don't get on that New World Order tip, then you might not have another hit.
Yeah, I say like the one hit wonders are the ones they tried to go after, and they turned it down, and they were like, "All right, we're gonna blackball him and make sure they don't get that traction ever again."
But well, whenever, like, not even have to blackball, they just say, "Okay, we're not going to promote you. You're going to have to do it on your own."
Thing is, he fell off when it wasn't. He didn't fall off. It's just that upper echelon wasn't really rocking with him like that. I'm gonna put it like that.
And that's where I was thinking with Craig Mack, because I'll tell you, I believe that the people with the most talent, that they might have accidentally had one or two hits. Maybe they didn't even get on the top 40 charts. But they're probably some of the best artists you're ever going to meet. I just refuse to think that Britney Spears is one of the best female musicians ever. Because there's at least 500 women that can sing a lot better than her that may not have had one or two hits, if that.
Hey, she was popping. She was popping through, okay?
Yeah, but how much of it did she write by herself?
I'm not sure, but she was popping. And I watched the Britney Spears documentary, actually, a couple weeks ago. It was pretty long, but it was very interesting, you know. She was in, like, a high-speed chase with the paparazzi. Had, like, 75 cars chasing her, and, like, it was just about her.
I've heard of that. But I'm just saying that the music industry built her up, though. Whereas somebody that you might never know could have been one of the best singers ever, but they didn't get that prop up because they didn't go to the Mickey Mouse Club. They were not indoctrined, so therefore they didn't make it just based on the people who they don't know. That's where I'm coming from. For every Britney Spears, there's 500 people that could sing better, but they just didn't get that opportunity to show off in front of the globalists.
Oh, definitely. That too. And then sometimes record labels, they might just want to be done with the artist and shelf them. And it's an artist that was super talented, but they didn't know what to do with them, how to promote them. So they said, we found your replacement.
Like I used to have a different radio show that I kept for just over a year based on the Hot 100 chart for Billboard, and I wanted to focus on all the artists and songs that either just barely had a hit that made the top 40 or never made the top 40 whatsoever. And so I would focus on some of the best songs that Casey Kasem never got to count down. So I'm a Billboard chart historian. So that's where that focus came into. So I know a lot about music, and I had a show about it, and I would showcase stuff. Like one of my favorite one-hit wonders ever, from 1975, there was a song by a lady called Minnie Riperton called Missing You. I think Burger King made it into a commercial once. That was a number one song, and then she had nothing on the top 40 charts. She had like three or four other songs on the R&B charts in the late 70s and early 80s, but could not replicate. And some of her stuff was quality, though, but just never got that exposure again.
And sometimes artists peak too soon, too. Like they get too many hits too fast before they actually establish a real fan base.
Mm-hmm. But you would think if somebody had a number one song that they would at least have a second single that would do okay.
Yeah, usually.
How well do you know your 1990s rap? How do you know 1990s rap? Are you pretty fluent in 90s rap?
Yeah, grew up in 94, or born in 94. Yeah.
So you may have heard this one. There was a guy that had one hit, and it wasn't even – it, like, only got to number 90 on the Billboard chart. Chubb Rock, Treat 'Em Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, one of my favorite rap songs ever. And it's somewhat popular, but I just can't believe he couldn't make it.
Did he ever get signed and stuff too, or was he independent when he did it?
I never looked at his record label. But if you write that down, Chubb Rock. Are you on Facebook by any chance? If so, Adrian can hook us both up.
All right, for sure.
So if you make friends with Adrian, I'll hook you up with my other friend, that Ninja Scroll guy, as well. And I would really like to have a music conversation with you later on.
Okay, that sounds good.
Let me ask you, though, what do you think about Missy Elliott making the Rock Hall of Fame?
I don't know, it's weird to me, because I feel like when I say Rock Hall of Fame, it should be strictly rock music. And I guess it's not really a hip-hop Hall of Fame, so I guess it's where you got to put them.
No, I get that, and I was going back and forth, but I voted for her. She was revolutionary. I guess she is the best female rapper as far as chart hits go to this date. And the thing is that I noticed with her is that she'll work with anybody. It doesn't matter what language you speak, what skin color you are. She doesn't care what kind of music you do. She'll work with you. And I respect that.
Yeah, Missy Elliott was a
It's like there's no comfort zone with her. And I think that's what made her best.
But you think she was the greatest female rapper of all time?
As far as chart hits go, is she the best ever? No, but she was the most successful as far as chart history goes and peak positions. Nicki Minaj might be the second, but
yeah,
I'm not going to say Nicki Minaj has talent necessarily, but as far as like top 10 hits and things like that, Missy Elliott stands alone.
No, Nicki Minaj can rap. I think the thing that really hurt her is when she went the pop route. Well, of course, it made her, you know, bigger.
I agree with that.
But it ultimately shot herself in the foot. Kind of like when Lil Wayne did rock.
But I respect that, though, when Lil Wayne does rock or Public Enemy, they go a bunch of different directions. I like when people don't put themselves in one box and say this is it. So
If they try and fail, I'd rather them do that.
But, like, with the Lil Wayne, with the Rock thing, it's like, okay, there had to be someone in the studio to tell you, like, yo, this ain't it. Like,
well, Cypress Hill did the same thing, though.
Yeah, that's true. I think Wayne did it, though, after, like, he, like, right at his peak. And I think that's what ultimately hurt him. It kind of slowed his momentum a little bit during his run, peak run, should I say.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that, though. I know exactly what you're saying, but I like when artists take those risks, even if it don't work. Hey, you tried it. I respect that. Like, who was I? Like Jay-Z, I don't see him really stepping out of his box.
Yeah, Jay-Z hasn't really stepped out of his box any. Like, of course, rapped over more updated beats, but that's really about it. Ludacris stepped out of his comfort zone. I'll give him that. Ludacris did.
Yeah. See, I think we're phasing out Adrian here because you and I work on music and she doesn't.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I feel bad.
I don't currently. I would like to at some point, like, make some, but I got to be, like, in the right vibe. Like, I got to be in the right space to, like, when I got other things that are more important, like, it's really hard for me to, like, paint or do any sort of art because I am a little rigid sometimes. But,
see,
no,
this is what I've said. Back when I was in my 20s, I toured the country as a professional stand-up comic, and obviously I've done radio for as long as I have. I've published a few electronica albums. One thing I will say, being that I'm now 51 years old, is that when you're young, you got to try something. It just bothers me when someone's 20 years old and they stay at the same job for 30 years and don't grow as a person. It's just that you have that opportunity to do something, and it's just nice to have that creative side because, and I don't care if it's art, whether it's music, sports, photography, I don't really care. I just think that when you're young, you have to try and just do something that is fun. Because you're not going to get that opportunity when you're 50, 60 years old. I mean, maybe you will. But it's just fun to see what you're good at. And you could change people just because you decided to grow as a person and to try something different.
Yeah, I am kind of bad at having fun sometimes. I mean, I listen to rap music for fun, but, you know, like as far as like having fun, doing things that bring joy, like that aren't like business matters, it's a little hard sometimes to like lighten up, like loosen up. So I am kind of working on that. Like that's something that I'm trying to work on the next year. Is doing things because I would like to like go to some film festivals and stuff like that and like play around with
I'm talking about like creating your own work and doing stuff for you. Lobo, have you produced any albums of your own?
Yeah, I've done EDM, done rap music. Yeah,
okay.
And then Adrian on. I've been drawing since I was 2 years old, so I can relate with the drawing thing for sure.
So you see where I'm going, where everybody has to have a creative side, because if you don't, like I have my cartoon still that I do. Just giving examples, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. It's just that I feel everybody should have a creative outlet, and sometimes you're successful in sharing what you do. And I've failed more times than most people have even attempted to do something, and I'm okay with that.
But a lot
of times, it's not. Sometimes it's not about failing. It's about you could draw from that experience, and you could use that towards other avenues. Like, I spent 8.5 years as a stand-up comic, and look at me, I'm doing radio now talking about New World Order, and people ask me, how do you handle all the negative news? And I'm like, well, I put in 40 hours a week here, but there's more to me than just Freedomizer Radio. And I just think everybody should do that. If you focus too much on the negative, you're not going to get anything accomplished. So that's where the creativeness comes in. So you can focus on several avenues at the same time.
Who's your favorite stand-up comedian?
I might have to go with Stephen Wright or Mitch Hedberg, one of those two.
I don't think I've heard of either of them now that I think about it. When were they
fast one-liner type stuff, just in and out of each joke and not telling like a long story or anything, just in and out, in and out, in and out. I like that.
I got you. Yeah, I grew up still a big fan of him. Excuse me, Eddie Griffin.
Okay.
I like the way that he can tell stories if he needs to. He can hit you with one-liners. And then he'll also sprinkle in something that'll educate you as well, too.
Yeah, except now if I went out and tried to do stand-up comedy, I'd be canceled immediately.
Oh, yeah, you can't say this, you can't say that, I know.
And I don't even curse, I don't get dirty on stage, but because I'm not a Democrat, and it's blatantly obvious that I'm not, I don't say Trump, 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 Trump all day, but I'm not a Democrat, so I can't sell the agenda, which is why some comedians don't get their TV breakthroughs, is because they are not the mold of person that the globalists necessarily want. There's a reason why Eddie Griffin hasn't been successful in a sitcom.
Oh, yeah. I remember in an interview he mentioned he didn't even like working on Malcolm and Eddie. He didn't like – he didn't feel
– exactly.
Like he was free. He was too constricted there.
Yeah, other than the Dave Chappelle show, you don't see people banging on his door and say, would you like to do a sitcom on NBC?
Yeah, that's true. I don't even know. Are there really any big sitcoms now?
I have no clue. Well, we gave up our TV over 2 years ago.
Because I don't hear anything about any, like, big-time sitcoms or anything. I haven't heard that since, like, what, Friends? Yeah, I think that was probably the last one.
I think, well, what was that one with the science, Big Bang Theory? And How I Met Your Mother,
yeah,
I think those were the last big ones.
Yeah, those two.
I can't name you a TV show after that.
I don't even know if I could either. I couldn't name you one that's actually on TV.
I just want to know what happened to Amanda Bynes and Lindsay Lohan.
We met Miranda Cosgrove once. That was cool.
Oh, from iCarly and Drake and Josh, yeah.
Yes.
What'd she
do
now?
She was at a music festival here, and she was doing autographs. I took my kids to meet her, and we got pictures and got her autograph and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, the last I heard, did she reboot the iCarly? Because for a while, she quit acting and just went to school.
Yeah, they did reboot iCarly. That's right. It's like on Paramount or something. But, yeah, they rebooted like they do everything now.
I'm just surprised they brought the same people back. Except for Jeanette McCurdy, whoever her friend was. Sam or whatever her name was.
Yeah.
I would love to get her on the show. Like, she wrote a book
She spilled the beans about Nickelodeon, so they're never bringing her back.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't want to come back. They asked her, and she did not want to come back. And she was, like, trying to get into music. And, like, she called them out for the favoritism, and then she also called them out like, she wrote a book, and apparently it's about the creator
exactly.
of, like, Drake and Josh. Because, you know, a couple months ago, I was like, you know, I kind of want to rewatch this, you know, like, kind of my childhood nostalgia type thing. So I started watching, like, Drake and Josh, you know, and then all of a sudden I was like, I want to Google this and, like, you know, who made Drake and Josh? And then I started Googling, like, Nickelodeon stars and any cases of, you know, like, you know, because there's, like, pedophilia that goes on, like, in that industry. So I, like, Googled it, and I was like, you know, like, because I was trying to make a connection. And apparently, like, Drake Bell, like, you know, Drake from Drake and Josh, like, he, he got charged with something, like, dirty, like, with involving children. Like, it was, like, perverted.
Yeah, I
like,
want to say he was caught playing with kids. I don't know to what extent, but, yeah.
Yeah, and he kind of just, like, let off, and the judge was, like, and I was, like, I was not shocked, but I was, like, wow, like, these kids are groomed in Hollywood. Like, they're being groomed, and then they're growing up to be, like, freaking rapists and, like, child touchers. Like, but they were touched as children, you know what I mean? And, like, it's, like, crazy. Like, I was, like, really, like, wow. And then it turns out the same guy, you know, and then, well, to back it up, rewatching the show, you just see these random perverted jokes in there as an adult that you don't really catch as, like, a preteen or a teenager even, you know what I mean? Like, or a younger, you know, like, 9, 11, 12, however old we were when we were watching that, or at least me, you know, my generation, you see these dirty, inappropriate jokes, like bestiality jokes and stuff, and you're like, wow, what is this? And, like, that guy that made Drake and Josh, Nez Declassified, all those shows.
Dan Schneider.
Same guy.
Dan Schneider.
Yeah. Well, Jeanette McCurdy wrote a book, and it was called, I think it's called I'm Glad My Mom Died, and it's like and I haven't got it yet to read it, but I would like definitely really like to talk to that girl and, you know, tell her, like, you know, it's okay that you wrote this book. Like, it's okay you wrote it, and it's okay you put that title, because that title would disturb a lot of people. Like, I'm glad my mom died. You know what I mean? Like, some people would be like, wow, she's bitter. But, you know, like, her mom made her be an actor and an actress, and she, a child actress, and she wanted to be in the music industry and write her own music. And so she just told her story there, and I don't think she actually refers to Snyder in the book by his name. I think she just calls him the creator, from what I read.
And I could be completely wrong on this. I don't think she had any bad blood towards the co-host. I think she was just upset at Dan Schneider and, as you said, the creator.
Yeah, I was reading, because I started digging into this, like, late at night after I found that. I just started digging in, and then I was like, wow, she wrote a book? And then I was like, wow, like, what is going on here? And then it's like, she got, like, pretty upset that, you know, she had a second role in that show with Kat or whatever, the redheaded girl.
Amanda, Ariana Grande.
Yeah. And it says that she still kind of talks to Miranda Cosgrove, but she doesn't have any intentions in coming back on, like, Nickelodeon or being involved with the show at all. And apparently she was offered a very large sum of money as well. And she,
really?
I guess she declined it.
Hmm. See, I really haven't followed up on that in the last year or so.
Oh, yeah, I really dug in, like, literally just, like, a month and a half ago, and I was, like, telling all my friends, I was, like, they are, like, grooming these kids, and then they are growing up to be groomers, and this is a cycle, and this is crazy, because, like, you know, all the girls were, like, in love with Drake Bell, you know, when he was on Drake and Josh, and then it's, like, now he's a dusty pedophile, like, I don't know.
That's like Kyle Massey from Corey in the House. He got busted for that stuff, too, around the same time.
Oh, my gosh. I read that, too. I couldn't remember his name, but now that you're saying that, I'm like, because I was skimming through, but I was mostly reading through with the Drake Bell thing. But, yeah, him, too.
Yeah, goes
you know
back
what's
to
funny about that show is that Ashton Kutcher doesn't want anything to do with those people.
With who?
That 70s show.
I didn't know about that.
Didn't Ashton Kutcher, for the most part, get out of Hollywood?
No. He was in, I mean, he was on Punk. He had obviously was in movies and stuff, one with Bernie Mac. What was it? He
I'm
was
talking
in
about, like, in the last 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years? I don't think I've seen him in anything since 2.5 Men.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If I remember right, he moved to Montana with his wife, who I think still does Family Guy.
Oh, Mila Kunis, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Aw, he's married, Tad. Well, I mean, I guess it's happened.
Oh, they've been married.
But, you know, tragic.
They've been married. But Mila can just do Family Guy. It's just voiceover work. And for the most part, I think they're... I'm not saying they're retired from acting, but they're not actively looking for work.
I got you.
Mark Wahlberg said he retired from the Hollywood scene. He lives here in Vegas.
Yeah, now I think I haven't seen a new movie with Mark Wahlberg in a minute.
Yeah, and you have Rob Schneider out there doing stand-up, and he's Christian and talking against the gene therapies and exposing globalism. Oh, he's not going to get another show. I don't think he cares.
Come on, Rob Schneider with the curly hair, Rob Schneider?
Yeah, what was he in? I know he was in Saturday Night Live, but I don't remember anything else he's done. I know he was in a lot of Adam Sandler's movies. Which one?
Shallow Hal, I think, was one of them. I think it was like him and I think Jack Black. I think Rob Schneider was in
that. That sounds warmer. Familiar.
Yeah, I remember him now. I did not know that. That is wild.
Yeah, that if you ever see where actors in their prime just quit Hollywood, a lot of it is because they don't want to be involved in this stuff.
Yeah, and then the ones that are still there obviously have no problem being involved in it.
So I don't know how long Adrian told you to stay on with us. You're welcome to hang out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell us more about, like, your YouTube, like, your content.
Let's see. We talked about Hollywood. Excuse me. And then, of course, we talked about, like, the technocracy, how they push different things, whether it be artificial intelligence, which they started really pushing heavy in 2020. Like, when everybody was locked in the house, every commercial you saw was either for some new AI product, it was something that they wanted to market.
Yeah, you were actually telling me on the Uber ride that you were telling me a bit about, like, that you talk about AI a little bit. Like, what do you talk about with AI, like, in regards, like, to the smart cities or something, or what do you go into?
A little bit of that, but primarily more so things like how they have the AI robots that they're eventually going to push out there, how everything with automation, whether it be, like, just something simple like self-checkout, but then also things like how they have, who was it, at McDonald's, they had a robot that was flipping burgers. Like, to the point it would just take away, like, very simple jobs that used to be just regular minimum wage jobs as well. Artificial intelligence with police machines, too.
Yeah, I was in Vegas a couple months ago, and there was a robot that came up to our table. And
you were in Vegas without telling me.
Well, we had it was not, it was pre-coming on the show.
No, I know.
Yeah, I definitely would. I'll definitely tell you the next time I'm out there. But at one of the, like, at one of the restaurants we went to, there was a robot, like, going around the tables, and we just, like, were like, yeah, no. Like, but it was weird.
What was it doing? Was it taking orders, or was it bussing tables?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a little robot waiter, and we, you know, took a regular waiter, but it was a freaking little robot waiter just rolling around.
Yeah, I'd just get up and get up out that restaurant immediately. I wouldn't even hesitate on that one.
See, when it comes to eating out, you could make food at home. Face it. Most of us can cook, at least we could put something together. Some are better than others, but at the same time, if you are going out for a hamburger, you're going primarily because of the customer service. Anybody can make a burger in their own house. And if you have a robot that's making your burger, there's really no point to going, because you're going because you want to experience an outing. You're not going because, well, I have to eat, so let me pay $9 for a burger when I can make it for $5 at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people don't want the self-checkouts. People want the customer service. They don't want to. I saw that some stores are phasing out the self-checkouts unless it's like 10 items and under. Which I always thought it should be that way anyway, because there are times when if you've got 14 people in line and you just need butter and you just want to scan your item, I don't see why you shouldn't be able to do that. But I'm not going to scan $300 worth of groceries and do all that myself.
Yeah, I agree with that, because my dad used to joke all the time, because he hates self-checkout. He used to joke all the time that at this point they might as well just put him on the payroll if he's going to do all this.
Yeah, Walmart, I heard, is they're going to phase out, unless it's an express lane, like I said. That's one of the main stores that they got the message about not wanting – or if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, they got one employee scanning items as a cashier, and they got like 20 self-checkouts.
Yeah, I've seen places like that too.
And it's like, I understand if I just want a hammer and there's a line, I'll go do it myself, and I would do that. But if there's a cashier, I'm standing in line for that.
I don't know if you've seen this, but at you mentioned Walmart. One of my friends that lives out there, he sent me a video of these big, tall, like, gray robots that would just go across, like, I guess they were, like, scanning for inventory, different things, like,
oh,
different
houses.
Oh, yeah,
I saw that at Sam's Club and Costco before, yes.
Yeah, they don't have those out here. They're, like, the Walmart stuff, they still got people. But, yeah, that... At the time when I saw it, that really threw me for a loop.
Yeah, that was crazy to me when I saw that.
Y'all don't have any, like, I guess besides the AI servers, y'all don't have anything like that, anything else like that? Like, I saw... They had these artificial intelligence, like baristas. Obviously, they look made to look like humans, but they were clearly robots. But y'all don't have anything like that?
I haven't seen them, but I don't go to Starbucks. I don't drink coffee, so I don't go there.
I don't really like coffee. I don't really prefer. What is it?
Oh, go ahead, if you had something to share.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just saying I don't really usually drink coffee unless it's like my body cannot wake up and there's no energy drinks around and I'm out of Axio. I prefer Axio. It's like a nootropic whatever it does, the neurotransmitters, way better than coffee or any energy drinks.
It's called what?
It's called Axio. It's like a nootropic, and it helps you have, like, positive mood, but also mental endurance. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been on a super late drive, and then I drink one of those, and it's like my brain just wakes up. It's kind of like a super nutrient, like, for your brain.
I could spell AXIO.
AXIEO. Yeah.
All right.
And what were you going to say, Proof?
Oh, I was going to say it's the third hour. It's time for Mr. Broccoli to make his voyage today.
All right. Thank you for joining us, and I'm sure, like, we would love to have you back. And is there any, like, do you want to tell our audience your page, like, where they can find you and your content?
Yeah. And I do appreciate y'all for having me on. And you can find me on YouTube at Lobo, L0B0, and on Instagram, Lobo underscore SnapGod, all of the O's are zeros.
All the O's are zeros, so L-O-V-O, but L-0-V-0, Lobo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for joining us, and we'll have you on another time. And I'm sure that Proof would love to talk to you about sports and music more.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, Adrian, if you have his Facebook, you could hook us up and you could show him the Broccoli Man video we're going to play today.
Yeah, absolutely. Proof does a cartoon, and it's Broccoli Man, and he airs the episode that he makes every week on the show.
Yeah, every week there's a new episode.
Okay, yeah, send me that. I want to see this.
Yeah, I'm actually going to send it to you right now. We're about to start this week's episode. I'm going to send it to you right now.
All right, sweet.
Well, I'll make sure he gets it, and then he can listen to it off air, and this way he can watch it and listen at the same time.
Yeah, I just sent it to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I'll go ahead and get this going here. But thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you today, Lobo.
You as well.
All right. Thank you. All right. So let's go ahead and get this going here. This one is called Extra Wolf, featuring the Millennials. And if you're ready, I'll go ahead and count down.
Yeah, ready whenever you are.
All right. So I'll count down right now. 3, 2, 1, action.
Hey Sugar, Malik and I are going to protest against kitchen appliances. We need to ban stoves, refrigerators, and heaters. Are you coming with us?
I told Malik to come get me tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We can ride together. She said she is driving. I don't let you white peoples in my car for any reason. You all white peoples are way too racist for me.
I know, right? I'm so happy I am black.
Yobi, you know we all can see you, right? You are as white as George Bush.
You take that back right now, Jamar. Everyone knows I'm black because I always vote Democrat and I support Black Lives Matter. We need to go to the rally at 7 Hampshire Institute and Technology so we can ban Jewish people and Christian people from SHIT. We only want Adventists, satanic cult worshippers, and Hamas pro-Palestine people at school there. We need to make sure school is not racist.
You are sounding pretty racist right there, Holmes. Last month you said Mr. Goldstein was your favorite teacher.
He is a good teacher. Now we need him to rot up in a camp forever because he is against Hamas. The TV told us that hating Jewish people is just as trendy as being non-binary. It is so outdated to be as Christian or straight or even woman.
Once we get rid of the Jewish and Christian people, then we can finally get rid of white people. After that, all the people that are black and thinks that they should not vote for Democrats also need to be put in the camp.
Everyone needs to stop being racists.
Now we know why Adolf Hitler and Osama bin Laden were trying to kill people. They were trying to stop racism.
I know. I saw all those TikTok videos about that they were right.
I was thinking about going to see the Rossi and Bart comedy show next week if you want to go.
Sorry, Jamar. I only do stuff that is liberal.
I was thinking about telling everyone how wrong it is to own pets. Do you want to do that with me and Malik?
Well, as long as it's liberal.
Only white people want pets. They want the pets to act like slaves. How would white people actively own them and did not let them live out anywhere them wanted? There's something Doug Ezra just upset that Michael Robinson Obama might be his president.
Michael Robinson Obama is a very nice lady.
I know. It's that Green Jones again.
That is too Republican and he is going to say a lot of racist ish right now.
I want to punch him in him's ballsack.
Why do you people think it is cool to hate on people based on their skin color and the country they were born in?
Look, you racist fool. You need to get with the times. You are just mad that my birthing partner is going to get me pregnant. Then when I have my abortion, you are going to see real angry again. You're just a stupid boomer.
Why is it you liberals that preach tolerance and acceptance are against people based on their heritage?
You're just too old to understand how communism works. Give me communism or give me death. Karl Marx is the best educator in economic policy ever.
You know that Marxism and communism has never worked anywhere it was tried, right? When you take away the right for the people to prosper, everyone loses.
That's only because you are mad you will have all of your monies taxed and taken away from you.
We need to give everyone your money. You have white privilege. Black people like us do not have that privilege.
Is that true? Don't you all get stipends for being trans or black?
I only get the trans stipend because I'm a trans. They said there was an error with my paperwork for trying to get the stipend for being blacks.
Dude, that's totally because you are not black. Everyone can see you. You are white.
You shut up that face right now and put a scam on that face.
We need to make sure SHIT keeps the diversity and equity rules in effect. It is not fair that everyone from different backgrounds can come to our school.
So, you want diversity and equity in the school. But you do not want everyone with different backgrounds in the school? I do need to hear how this works.
That's right. Because you all hate people, we are all loving and liberal.
Only racist people eat peanut butter and jelly.
Hey player, I do like me some PB&J. When my parent 1 and parent 2 come through with groceries, they bring a lot of that to my spot.
That's because you have been acting too white lately.
Jim, are you bees is just diet black? You ain't real black. Did you see that Governor Gruesom cleaned up the streets of San Francisco because the China president was coming?
Yeah. That was so racist they cleaned up that city. They should have left all the Krasinski on the ground. They made it look like a Republican city instead of showing him how we like to represent.
I need the stores to let me bring my trash bag in there and clean them out. I need my four-finger discount.
It is not fair that Congress is showing the January 6th videotapes out in public now. Those Trump supporters need to stay arrested for whatever reason anyone can find. I hate Trump supporters so much. I bet you are even mad that Dylan Mulvaney was voted the Woman of the Year.
Well, that's not a woman, so...
Well, I'm so liberal that I don't even know what a woman is.
Riley Gaines should be as re-educated in a FEMA camp. Hem thinks they have the right to says what a woman is. Thems is not a biologist, so cannot know who is a woman.
I have kumquats and an ice cream cone. My gender is that I'm a travesty. My birthing partner is a trans outlaw. We will never know what a woman is. Hey, Mr. Broccoli Dude. Why are you such a radical extremist?
I'm not radical. My ideas were normal just a few years ago. I do not let the television determine my thoughts. The globalists that feed ideas into the school system to depopulate the earth do not interest me one bit.
You're just upset because having heart attacks is very normal now. You need to be normal and get your gene therapy so you can have heart attacks just like us.
Hey again everyone. Do not become woke or let your children get woke. Get invoke-led in Truth News. Please check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on freedomizerradio.com and is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and all the news you need to know about. Check out freedomizerradio.com and see the schedule for the other shows on there also.
If you want to talk about listening to Alex Jones' Proof Negative, or Dr. Carlson, you can come here and come get these fists.
Good luck with that. I am trained in 3 martial arts. You have taken 72 gene therapies and have never been in a gym.
Working out in a gym is racist. I can still whip you. But you will have to take me to Weimiya General Hospital after because I might get a heart attack.
All right, so that was this week's episode. I hope it was okay.
Yeah, the part talking about the white people made me laugh. I can't remember the exact comment now, but...
Yeah, he thinks he's black because he supports Black Lives Matter, and he heard Brandon when he said that if you don't vote for him or you're considering voting for Trump, it means you ain't black. Being that it's Thanksgiving, and your friend may have watched an episode, I want to represent the wiretap, and then we have time to get into a little news here. So I want to show you an older episode that you probably didn't see. This one's called Schwab's New World. Let me copy it here. And I'll get this ready on my end here. Yeah, there we go. I'm ready when you are.
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
All right. All right, so I wanted to represent an older cartoon with the wiretap in it. So this is Schwab's New World featuring the wiretap. So I'll count down right now. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Hold it right there, green dude. You are under arrest, sir.
Why are you following me again today, wiretap?
M-E-T-H-O-D-O-F, Melody Green Dude.
I have no idea what that means.
It's a method of modern love, green dude. But seriously, sir, you did not get the digital ID yet. You are hereby required by Governor Sheeratzvek to get the Lysnicka Freedom microchip. You are still trying to use the old school Federal Reserve currency notes. You are an old relic that will not fit in with these current times.
Why do you think that I care about what you think? You are even creepier than that old pervert named Herbert on The Family Guy.
Just that green dude, I am now required to have you disrobe this instant so I can check your person for any Federal Reserve notes. You might be trying to use any cash currency that has former presidential faces on it. We are in a one-world government now and we cannot have you trying to represent the old America with racists on their financial currency. If you have any such American dollars, I can confiscate them from you so you do not have to carry around pictures of racists. Case of possession obsession. Gimme, 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 yeah.
I don't believe I am having to argue about this right now. If you want to quote Hall and Oates, then how about leave me alone? I'm a family man. Or maybe I can't go for that. No, no. No can do.
That is a green dude. Now you obviously make less than $300,000 annually. So you are required as part of the lowly 99%. You must adhere to what Klaus Schwab and the Economic Forum have devised for useless eaters such as yourself.
I don't listen to a single thing any globalist says to do.
Don't worry, green dude. You will listen to every single thing any globalist says for you to do. You shall now be required to eat maggots and lentils instead of meat. You must only use air conditioning if the temperature is about 125 degrees Fahrenheit. You must give your expensive automobile to the government and take the city bus. Your old 2014 Hyundai Sonata is too much of a problem for climate change. So you will be going to what you somehow call work on public transportation.
You are complaining about my car? You drive a 1993 Geo Metro.
Green dude, keep stepping in it. How dare you make fun of my company automobile, green dude? You won't be laughing when I bring you to the FEMA camp. That does not exist. Now as you are one of the 99%, I am going to mandate you walk those legs right over here so I can insert the latest Leisnecker Freedom microchip into your person.
That's going to be a never in my life, dog.
You will be required to say hibby hibby insert my chippy. That means you now accept the new world order as your lord and savior. You shall worship big globalist government as your religion.
You will not coerce me to say the hibby hibby thing or accept the government as my religion.
Okay, you said hibby hibby. Now just utter the phrase insert my chippy and we can get you up to date on your freedom microchip.
That is not happening. I am not saying anything else you tell me.
What is a phrase you do not want to say, green dude?
Get the out of my face and go yourself, wiretap.
I now read you in a ramble. Come out with your fancy style. Anything you say can and will be used in a court of law. If you cannot afford an attorney, then you are completely fucked. So we need you to drop your trousers so we can properly arrest you.
Of all the reasons you want to make to see my junk, this is the craziest. Why do you need me to drop my pants for you to arrest me?
Very simple, green dude. If your pants are around your ankles, it will be almost impossible for you to run away. Let us verify there are no K-47s, bow and arrows or any extra gold or silver inside your junk. You can show me your delicious comfort and run me through the naked body scan.
These globalists are a bunch of fools who think they can replace God with themselves and use weird tactics and artificial intelligence to rule the world as a one-world government. They think they can live forever and create robots to take the place of humans. They are a bunch of sick perverts who enjoyed a lot of quality time on Epstein's Island. We must never comply with what they want because it will end civilization as we know it.
You must comply with everything all the globalists want. It will end civilization for your 99% useless eaters as we know it. Now you all must set up an appointment to get in the Leisnecker suicide pods, eat your maggots, and make sure any pets, plants, trees, minerals, or vitamins are destroyed and euthanized so we can remove it from society. And I will be the one verifying there is nothing inside your juicy kumquats.
Check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof likes to tell everyone about the latest in New World Order news. He brings on great guests and has on excellent co-hosts that you will enjoy hearing from. He even takes your calls and wants to wake up the world from globalism. Go to freedomizerradio.com and press listen live so you don't miss any of Proof's shows.
You must not go to freedomizerradio.com and must miss all our Proof Negative shows. He ruins the plans of our one world government and we must deplatform him at every single opportunity. Proof's mere existence ruins our entire globalist crime syndicate. Napoleon Incompoops and something duckers need to hurry up and procure your bloody microchips.
We cannot let globalism and the New World Order ruin the Earth. They need to go away. Just like you need to go away and leave me alone, wiretap.
All right, so that was a much older episode.
When was that?
Maybe a year to a year and a half ago. You got quiet all of a sudden. I guess I must have bored you.
No.
All right. So do you have anything you want to share tonight?
Yeah, I'd like to let our audience know that actually if they or anyone they know has cancer, they can contact me and they will get shipped free shipping as well. I just want to repeat that it is free to cancer patients, high CBD RSO tincture. Like, it will be mailed to them, shipped to them for free. I do want to let them know that.
So, are you one of those people also that are getting involved in that Transact card thing? Because I see a bunch of my
what
Facebook friends getting involved. What's that?
What is that?
It's a multi-level marketing thing with in regards to banks, and you save money on debit card fees and things like that. I
haven't heard of it.
I'm staying away from it for now. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just not getting involved right now.
Yeah, I've never heard anything about it. This is the first that I've heard about it. What is it? It's like a swag box or
Transact,
something?
Transact, TRANZACT.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything about that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's basically flooding my Facebook wall when I see it. Not my own wall, but when I read stuff. I out of every 10 posts I see, 3 are about Transact.
It's like a banking thing or something?
Yeah.
Hey, what did you think about that? Were you able to get to that that podcast that I sent you earlier this week. That was so crazy.
I started it and I saved it and I didn't go back to it. So, yes and no.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the Wake the Dead.
Yeah, Lynn Monette. Yeah. That was mind-blowing, honestly. I was like disturbed for most of the day when I heard that, and that they're not letting, you know, they go on to talk about, sorry, this is stuff that I like to talk about. I like to talk about, like, neurohacking.
I have to admit, though, Adrian, I think it's fascinating when you see people that are killed in mysterious ways, and then a four-year-old comes out and says that somebody killed them and they could lead somebody to the place where they died. And as it turns out that somebody did die there 4 years ago. Things like that trip me out, because how would a four-year-old know all those terms? And how would they know that they died in front of a certain building and they could take people there? And then as it turns out, somebody died there on the date that they're talking about.
Oh, yeah, that gave me cold chills, honestly. I think that that's all real. I think that there's a, you know, there's the dimension here with, like, there are things that we cannot see and that observe, like, invisible forces that observe us that we cannot physically see with our eyes. And it is so strange. I would like to go to Connecticut, because it is apparently one of the most haunted states, which apparently Tennessee is too, but Connecticut, you know, like, apparently it's, like, got a lot of paranormal stuff there. And, I actually talked to somebody from Connecticut, I think two people, and they said that it's got some weird energy going on over there. But that podcast that I sent you, the Wake the Dead podcast with Lynn Monette, a friend was playing that the other day in the car. And, you know, I had to ask him the name of it. I was like, who is this and who are these people? And what, you know, like, what, I was asking the questions. Like, it's very disturbing. They are locking people up that are traumatized, and they are giving them these drugs. Like schizophrenia, you know, it is disturbing what is happening to these people. And they won't even let researchers into the facilities. They, you know, to even study the said hallucinations and things that they're experiencing, they won't even let researchers really into the facilities. They will, but they'll hit them with paperwork that says, you know, like just making the patients that are, you know, schizophrenic, bipolar seem like a danger, like telling the researchers, well, if you get, you know, injured or if anything happens, we're not liable, like the facility is not liable. So that scares researchers away. Like you're telling them that these people are dangerous, and most of the time they are not dangerous unless, like, you provoke them or in some way. And it's not even necessarily the person that you're provoking, it's the whatever is preying on that trauma. But you know, I've been saying for a long time that I have a personal theory that, you know, there's a weird connection between mental, quote, illness, trauma, and demonology. And listening to that podcast, like, it really brought it full circle. And a few months ago, I had found a writer, and I'm probably going to mispronounce his name. He was a writer, and he was a psychiatrist who led a movement against the, like, oh my gosh, when I found this, I was just so, it bothered me. Like, I was very alarmed. His name was Thomas Szasz. It's Thomas, and then it's like a S, Z, ASV Szasz, I guess is the only way you can say it. But he was like, you know, a psychiatrist. And he basically became a critic, a lot like psychologist Alice Miller, of the moral and like scientific like implications of psychiatry, like the whole field. And he became a critic. He would say that basically, like, it's not that he said that schizophrenia isn't real. He said it's completely, like, we don't understand it. And he even wrote a book, I think it's called, like, I think it's, like, psychiatry, like, schizophrenia, the psychiatric field's sacred symbol in psychiatry. Like, he talked about how the state is keeping these people that are diagnosed as, like, schizophrenia and stuff like that, and their family doesn't want anything to do with them. Like, once they get into the state's custody, like, they're trapped there unless somebody gets them out. And it was just so disturbing, just think about, like, what's been done to these people, like, how they've been treated and how they're looked at in society, and then the fact that, you know, they're being drugged with heavy sedatives and things like lithium and stuff. You know, Dr. Thomas Szasz, he's kind of known as, like, apparently, like, the founder of the anti-psychiatry movement. And I think it's just very strange that people like him and Alice Miller, which Alice Miller, she was a Swiss psychologist, and she did a lot of studying on childhood abuse and how trauma stores in the body. And, like, she even went as far as to, like, interview, like, prisoners and people that, you know, you wouldn't really talk, like, people just forget about these people in prison and stuff like that, and, like, it's all back, comes back to childhood. And she even writes books on how authoritarianism is bred in childhood, because, like, you know, children are taught to just, like, obey, and they're, like, you know, like, it's just, it's a really interesting kind of field to go in. I think she even resigned from the psychology association, because she was so disturbed by the moral implications she personally found within the psychotherapy, strategies and tactics and the things that they use that came from Sigmund Freud, for psychoanalysis.
Oh, I could believe that.
Like, a lot of people don't really know, you know, while we were on this topic earlier, you know, the groomers and stuff, a lot of people do have no idea where they say, oh, like, are you, you know, like, I like to coach people sometimes, like, you know, their mental, like, health and, like, neurohacking, I think that that's very important. And you have people that are like, oh, well, where's that coach's authority, or where does their authority come in? And it's like, what do you mean? Like, these people, which I've noticed an ongoing trend with, and I'm not, like, bashing every single person that is, like, a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm just saying that that podcast, first off, that podcast that Extinct You talked about how the suicide rate among psychiatrists is almost, like, the same of suicide among schizophrenia, and that is interesting. And a lot of people, and I've met people that they're like, oh, I'm going to school to be a therapist, or I'm going to school to be a psychiatrist, a psychologist, but they're codependents. Like, they, like, the way they operate, the way they attract unhealthy partners, like, and I'm not saying it's their fault, but I'm saying they're codependents. So you even have an example like this with Dr. Nicole LaPera. She is, a, like, a like she will tell you, like, in her practice, she moved away from, like, traditional psychology, the traditional way of being a therapist, psychologist, because she found it wasn't really helping, and she was miserable. And she basically talks about how the field is, like, corrupt in that, you know, she was a codependent. So I think that's very super, like, extremely, I don't even have words for how beyond disturbing and unsettling it is to know and to actually see that a lot of these people that are helping people with their mental health are actually, like, codependents. And I'm not saying that you can't be a recovered codependent and help people. That's not what I'm saying. But these people that are literal textbook codependents, having a DSM-5 and then diagnosing you with something like that is unsettling and alarming to me.
No, I can buy into that.
I kind of went on a little side tangent there. I did want to say that Alice Miller went as far as, like, not to just study, like, you know, murderers and prisoners. She went back and traced, you know, like, Adolf Hitler's childhood. And the, you know, it's very interesting the way she draws the correlation between, like, you know, Hitler, which is a very extreme example of, like, you know, childhood repression and cruelty and hatred, like, manifesting and, you know, just brewing and growing inside of a person. But, you know, that's not the first time that I've heard attention be drawn to a dictator like that, and then their childhood also referenced. I think it's Kim Jong-un, the current leader of Korea, you know, North Korea. Like, he I'm pretty sure it was, like, he grew up without a mother, and the documentary went on to talk about, you know, the, when you study the childhood of a lot of dictators, something went on there, and it was drawing a correlation to the, you know, current leader of North Korea and not having a mother, and how mothers are supposed to instill empathy into their children. So he never received that. I think it's interesting.
Oh, did I lose you?
Oh, no. I was talking for a bit there. I'll go on tangents about these, like, tangents, rants. Like, I feel compelled to tell everyone that the mental health field is a joke. Like, it is a joke in this country. And, like, that podcast also talks about how, you know, since 2020, since the shutdowns and everything, that, you know, the stocks, like, the the prescribed drugs have just gone up, like, for depression and all these things, and that they are expected to go way up. And it talked about, you know, the damaging effects of antipsychotics, that those are the worst. And the most disturbing part is it was talking about, you know, the drugs that they give patients that have said schizophrenia. Actually, these people not being able to walk or having issues walking because the drugs are damaging their nervous system. And I actually have encountered, it disturbed me, this podcast really caught my attention, because I recently have discussed with someone who is diagnosed with said schizophrenia that had severe childhood trauma. The person told me they are having issues walking, and that the people at their facility they're not believed because they've gotten an x-ray, but their x-ray is not showing any damages to the bones or the pelvis area, but it wouldn't if it was nerve damage. And once my friend played this podcast and I heard that, I got re-disturbed all over again on a whole other level. versus when I found Thomas Cesar's or Cesar's work, because, you know, like a psychiatrist, like, I don't understand people that discredit doctors and psychologists and people that come out of these fields. Like, they're risking their whole license. Like, people that don't take these people seriously, do they think that they're just risking their whole career and all those years sitting in school to get their piece of paper to tell people what's wrong with them? Like, do they think that they're just denouncing the field, like, just for attention? I don't know. I just don't understand. It's very disturbing.
See, even if Pfizer loses with this, with these gene therapies, they still make so much money off of these other types of drugs that really mess people up in other ways.
Yeah, it's so important for us to help other people, like, get off of those, you know, like, not to preach at them or, oh, yeah, you know, like, terrible for you, you know, but just to, you know, like, I think that starting groups and, you know, creating conversation and building more community and stuff, like, something's going to happen. Like, we have to, like, help people get off of these pharmaceuticals. You know, I know a lot of people that they're not on drugs, like, they're not on street drugs, but they're on the drugs that the doctor gave them, you know.
Well, I think you're correct, though, with trying to build communities, and it doesn't matter what the community is. I think we all should be trying to do something to make people better.
Yeah, and ourselves. And not better as in, like, more money or, you know, like, recognition, anything like that, but better as in, what are we doing to move ourselves towards the best version of ourselves and our highest potential and reach our utmost highest potential?
Well, you know me, I believe in community building. You know what I have going on, so it's not really a secret. All right, what else do we feel like getting into?
I don't know. I could go on tangents about this for a minute, so I don't know if you want to take it in a different direction. Or where do you want to go with it?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's also really important. I'm sure you've probably heard about this a lot, you know. I think that Alice Miller's, like, trauma stores in the body at a cellular level. And, you know, the medical field, they're kind of looking at this, but not as much as they should be. I know that the body keeps the score. Like, stuck in the body. Pretty interesting. There's a book by Alice Miller. I haven't started it yet, but I ordered it. It came in recently. It's Body Middle Lies, The Language of Rural Parenting. And it's a lot like the book that's kind of going around. That's a bit longer. The Body Keeps Score.
And there are doctors coming out. The body, it's just that the medical industry is not looking at it yet. But I think that, you know, like the mental health field, it is kind of shifting, but it's very slow, of course, because there, I mean, if people knew that, you know, trauma is like the root of mental illness, or your diet, I think your diet can be as well, nutrition, trauma, spiritual things, but usually they're tied together. I mean, if people started changing their diet and started releasing negative emotions, then they wouldn't need to be put on these drugs that blow their receptors. You know, like if they knew about the different chemicals in the body that are released, you know, like stress, for example, like whenever you're feeling stressed, like I know me personally, whenever I'm feeling like stressed out, just knowing like, okay, my cortisol levels are raising, like, in my brain. Like, kind of just knowing what's going on from a medical standpoint, and then not in the medical standpoint of, oh, hey, you're diagnosed with this, and you're going to have to have this medication, and you're going to have this illness for the rest of your life, you know? But knowing, like, oh, okay, my cortisol levels are high right now. Maybe I need to, like, take some deep breaths and bring myself back in my body. 'Cause there is, like, a physiological response between what people say to themselves in their mind, their inner talk with themselves, and their physical body. Like, the body is always listening. And what I have observed working with different people is that a lot of the times, like, this negative inner chatter that they have, it didn't, like, these negative, like, this, these narratives that they have, like, and beliefs that they have about themselves, they didn't even come from them. It came from other people. I heard before somebody say something along the lines of, like, trauma is a result, is basically the impacts of other people's sins against us. I thought that was very interesting.
No, we could do more about mental health in the future.
Yeah, it would be cool if we could get some speakers on here to talk about some things related to that. I recently learned about a group. I think it's called the National Association of Self-Esteem. And I think that that is an interesting organization. I think that a lot of mental health issues do come from, you know, the self-esteem, like people's self-image, like their self-image, and then not being able to, or not thinking that they're their ideal self, you know?
Well, there's now things as like transabled and things like that, where people think that they were supposed to be born with one leg. It's
so
just weird.
Strange.
Enough.
Are you serious?
That's supposed
joke?
To
that's
be normal
serious?
Now. Oh, yeah. Transable. That look up transable.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
Okay. I'd play a clip, but we don't have time for it.
The complicated issue of transableism. Okay, I'm seeing it referred to as body integrity identity dysphoria, also known as being transabled. Transability is defined as the need of a non-disabled person to transform his/her abilities
or senses with the goal of acquiring a physical disability. That is so strange.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Wow, this is so strange. The term, this is definitely demonic. This is weird. The term body integrity identity disorder, BIID, describes the extremely rare phenomenon of persons who desire the amputation of one or more healthy limbs or desire a paralysis. Wow, that is strange. That sounds like a spirit of infirmity. You know, I was told that a spirit of infirmity, like, basically it's a demon. It's like a demonic entity, but it makes people think that they are sick when they're not. And that sounds like something that is behind this. Like,
Wow.
These individuals wish to be blind, crippled, or more. All right, I can't read about this anymore. This is too weird. I mean, I think it is important to, like, okay, like, are we going to enable this, too? Like, we're already enabling people, like, you know.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, honestly, this is not elegant, but whack their junk off, like, you know, and, like, that's becoming a trend in the medical industry, and it's raking in quite a bit of cash for doctors that, you know, don't see any moral or health complications from the procedures. Like, is this going to be the new thing now? Like, when does the enabling stop?
Well, if they can desecrate society, and as long as it's liberal, if they can get people to kill themselves and be on drugs and make everybody crazy. That's how it works.
No, yeah, that's exactly right. You said to, yeah, on drugs, get them to kill themselves, confuse them as to who they are as a person.
All right, so I don't know if you have anything else, but I'm about ready to close up for the night.
Yeah, if you're ready to go, I don't think we have time for another one of my controlled tangents. It was not a rabid one.
You got six minutes.
We have any more time for this. Oh, what's that?
You got 6 minutes. If you want to use them, go for it. Otherwise, we'll call it a night here.
Yeah, I don't think I have time to go on another tangent, but I definitely have a lot to say about the mental health field for sure.
So what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm really not big on holidays, honestly. We're going to have a dinner, but I think that for Christmas, I might honestly just take a trip to New York and just look and just be by myself and kind of look at the life and stuff. That's kind of what I was thinking for Christmas. But, yeah, I kind of decided this year that I would very much like to, the next coming years, if possible, spend them out of the country, like for the holidays.
I'd like to go see Thailand at some point.
I won't be doing that this year, but would like to make it a new trend.
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys? What are you guys doing?
I'm just cooking dinner for the wife, and then I have to work on Friday anyway, so I'm not doing much. That's all I have going on. I'm the cook of the house.
Oh, yeah. I would like to start playing around with more, like, spices and stuff and different things like that, making different sauces.
Yeah, I'm a self-taught cook myself. All right, well, let me go ahead and close this out. So thank you, Adrian, for joining us. I'll go ahead and get out of here. So I'll see you next
definitely.
Tuesday. Thanks for being here. Thank you for bringing in a great guest.
Yeah. Have a good night. I'll talk to you next week.
Yes. Thank you. And, I'm definitely thankful for you being here on Tuesdays. So thank you, Adrian. Thank you to the audience, because without you, we wouldn't have much of a show here. Everyone else, I will be back tomorrow. Please support the shows on Freedomizer. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am Oot.